Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. The new screensavers is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you fresh, high-quality ingredients to cook delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/twit. And by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your house. Go to ring.com/NSS and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit with their limited time offer. And by Braintree. Mobile app development can be complex, but integrating your payments no longer has to be. With Braintree, your business can accept nearly every type of payment from any device with just one integration. Learn more at BraintreePayments.com/NSS.
An artist takes on the Surface Studio. Light up your bike and keeping family road trips peaceful. Live from Twit Eastside Studios in beautiful Petaluma. It's the new Screensavers!
Chuck is a corporate pilot. He flies a Hawker 850. Very nice. XP all around the world. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the new Screensavers. I'm Leo Laporte. Look who's here.
I'm Renee Ritchie. Well, thank you for having me, Leo.
Our favorite Canadian from MacBreak Weekly. And we flew you down
for
a special holiday edition of Twit, which was
so great.
We recorded Thursday for airing on Christmas Day. Thank you for being here for that.
Thank you for having me.
It was really fun. We also had Denise Howell from This Week in Law. And Steve Gibson from Security Now, and it was really a good conversation. But you'll see that on Christmas Day.
That was fantastic.
And then we thought, as long as we got you here, can we have you, please? Can we have you in the studio?
Yeah, well, I've got chained to the desk.
We have our ways. We can be persuasive in many ways. Anyway, it's great to see you.
Thank you so much. It's great being here.
It's kind of timely because I know you're a big fan of the Apple Watch.
I am.
And you have the new Hermes band.
I do.
Which is beautiful on there.
Single deployant, as we call it in...
Deployant.
Deployment, for those of you
French,
who are...
So French, very nice. But you have many, many Apple Watch bands.
You become kind of
a band freak. And you got me kind of into it. I have the nylon band on.
And the ceramic watch. Very nice.
Yes, this is the 2016 Series 2 edition.
Johnny Ive is so happy right now.
18 karat gold edition, which I really couldn't afford. But I like the Apple Watch and I use it. What do you call that? A team.
Activity sharing. Yeah.
So I see it when Renee's met his activity goals and he sees it.
I get an alert and I send back a fire emoji.
And I like that. That works really well.
It's great because I'm not intrinsically motivated. I need to know that you've done your workout and then I get off the couch and I start doing mine.
But I have to say this category is maybe a little bit in trouble. We've heard some news today. We heard... Motorola said, we're not going to make another Moto 360 Android watch, at least not in the near future, even though version 2.0 of Android Wear is coming out.
But it got delayed. It was supposed to be out, and then it's like, well, maybe next year, guys.
Yeah, and I like the Moto 360. That's actually my favorite Android Wear watch, but there won't be another one.
And it's a round alternative. It's nice to have options.
I agree. There are many other manufacturers. Nixon now, which is a very well-known extreme sports watch maker, is making a round Android Wear.
I think Huawei still makes theirs.
And then we saw that Pebble, and this is yet to be confirmed, but rumors that Pebble may be acquired by Fitbit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Pebble, they were the scrappy young startup. They made the BlackBerry Impulse a long, long time ago and then made Pebble, which worked with both iPhone and Android, so you could use it with either platform.
You know, it's sad. This, by the way, came from the information Jessica Lessons, really great blog. They were offered something like, what was it, $740 million
and then
last year, turned it down.
Yep.
Then were offered like $70 million.
Yes, sir. Rumor has it.
Turned it down. Yep. And now rumor is that the cost is about $40 million because Fitbit's basically acquiring debt.
Yep.
And some maybe intellectual property. Fitbit is selling the best-selling watch right now, by far.
Wearable in general.
Yeah. Better than the Apple Watch, better
than
anybody else.
The low-cost ones, I think, sell better. I think when Apple classifies it as watch, they still sell really well. But you can get a Fitbit, you know, for $50
right.
at the point of entry.
It's, right. So they have the little money to spend in acquiring Pebble, but it's kind of sad. We were talking before, and I've said this several times. I think the Apple Watch and the category of wearables in general is kind of wrist-rare wearables in general is kind of a flop.
They were doing some numbers, and nobody knows how many Apple Watches are sold.
They don't say.
No, Amazon doesn't say how many of their products were sold. But
yeah.
Neil Seibert, he's a sell-side analyst, was saying that three times as many Apple Watches have sold as Amazon Echoes, and Amazon Echoes considered a huge
That's
success.
That's not a flop. That's a big success.
Yeah, and the Apple Watch is beleaguered.
So there's a logical problem here.
Yes.
I guess, though, when I think of – I don't think of sales particularly when I'm talking about a product category. I think of the importance of the product category, and it feels like the Echo – is one of the first of a whole new category that will ultimately be very important, which is kind of speech-driven
Absolutely, voice-first interface for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Watches, though, I mean, they're getting more interesting. I unlock my Mac with my watch now all the time, and when I put my password in, I feel like an animal again. You just get so used to the convenience.
Yeah. Although you have the new Touch Bar MacBook Pro, and that has a fingerprint reader.
But sometimes this beats it. I'll reach for the fingerprint, and I'll hear...
Oh, interesting.
And the computer will be unlocked.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I do like the fact that I can just touch the Mac and... open it up. It's not like Apple invented that. We've seen that on computers for decades.
And I'd like multiple. I'd like to have to wear the watch and give my fingerprint as
there
an option.
There you go.
Multi-factor.
Really protect it. Yeah. That's a very interesting idea. Biometrics plus something you have.
Something you have, something you know, something you are.
Yeah.
Trifecta.
Let's see. What else? Big stories in the news. I think that's pretty much it. The other big story for me was I got a new computer this week. That's not normally a big story because I get new computers all the time.
Three a day.
But this one's exciting. Can we walk over? Are we allowed to do that? All right, come on. I want to show you my new computer. You've seen this, actually. I'm not showing you something you haven't seen before. But I ordered this when Microsoft announced it. This is the new Surface Studio. And it's an all-in-one Microsoft's first desktop computer, which is kind of, when you think about it, you think of Microsoft. They've been around so long.
Forever.
Their first desktop computer. And it's a pretty amazing computer. By the way, I should do what I just did again because, to me, this is better than fingerprint or watch. Watch this. I'm going to lift it. Now, you do have to lift it up.
It looks super easy, though.
The camera can see me. I turn it on, and it says, making sure it's... Oh, hi, Leo, and it logged me in.
So can I do a Leo printout?
Can you see that over my shoulder? Come on over here, Alex. Let me do that again. No, we tried it because they were trying to log in. And it didn't work.
Fake Leo.
Okay, now watch. So the computer's off. This is the camera. It's a they call it a hello camera.
Okay.
And it's more than just a regular camera. It also does kind of like the Kinect on the Xbox.
It's like
it does a Z and it does infrared. So let me do it again. Now watch, because it's pretty quick. Getting ready, looking for you. Make sure it's you. Hi, I'm logged in.
So inside it's building a virtual Leo. Authorized.
So this is a ridiculously priced computer. It starts at $3,000. There's models going all the way up to $4,000. This is the base model, $3,000. And you see the computers in here. So really, effectively, this is a laptop computer.
It's like a Mac Mini with a display on top of it.
Exactly. It's not, you know, because the Macintosh, they put the guts in the screen. Here, the screen is just the screen, although iFixit did a teardown, and there's an ARM processor in here, and I'll talk about what I think that's for. On the back, it's got four USB ports, the old Type-A ports, but they're USB.
Is that good for you or bad?
3.0.
People complain about USB-C and USB-A.
You know, I would love to see one USB-C.
Okay.
What Microsoft says is they designed this 3 years ago.
Okay.
And so this is that's not an excuse to me. You're selling it this year, not in 2013.
Yeah.
But I guess that's one of the reasons for a design
they
that
did
looks
make the screen,
a little antiquated.
They did fix the black and white screen, but they didn't fix the ports.
It has an Ethernet jack, another kind of anomalous.
I don't know what those are.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know idea.
Gigabit Ethernet. This is the power cable, the only wire that you have to have. And then this is mini display port, and we're using that for the second display coming out.
What's that big gap at the back?
This thing?
Yeah.
I thought it was a Kensington security slot. No, it's an SD card reader.
I don't know what that is anymore either.
Well, what? And finally, oh my God, a headphone jack.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So that's what you get. It's kind of a laptop computer inside an i5, 8 gigabytes of RAM. I tell you, the biggest disappointment to me is it's a 1 terabyte drive, but it's a 5,400 RPM spinning drive. It's a hybrid, though. That's an Intel specification with a 64 gig SSD that speeds it up a little bit, but not a lot.
So it's like a small cache.
It also has a mobile NVIDIA graphics processor.
It's like a laptop, right? It's like a laptop mounted with a big display.
That's basically what it is. What you're paying for is this. This is the display. Yeah. 28 inches. It's a 4,500 by 3,000. That's a 4K display. And then this is the thing I really like.
That hinge.
And this arm is really well designed. You can position it at any angle all the way down to 20 degrees, which makes this kind of like a drafting table.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what makes this most interesting. They're aiming at the creative crowd.
The color looks fantastic.
It's a P3.
Color gamut.
Wide color gamut, although you have sRGB available as well. It has the pen, the same pen that Microsoft ships with the Surface Pro and the Surface Book. It is, it's kind of fun pen because it has... in fact, I can show you. I'll show it off right now. It has an eraser on the top. You can click. Single click for me. I've set it up to open OneNote. Double click will allow me to draw on the screen, which is kind of wild.
Like Monday Night Football.
Yeah, you can telestrate.
Want to hit the owl in the eye, you got to have two defenders.
You got to go like this, and then you go,
and he's out.
And so that's kind of fun. And it's, by the way, a very responsive pen. There's no lag appreciable, although I'd love you to try it because you're a graphic artist, and I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, so my fear is that Microsoft's previous tablets have been like Wacom, where there's a little bit of an air gap. You see a little reticule. It's not quite...
I don't know. You probably is, and I'm not sensitive to it, but it's probably not as good as Apple's Pencil and iPad Pro.
Your brain is wonderful at adapting to things.
It also, and I love this, and I think this. I wish they did this on the iPad.
Yeah.
It's magnetized up here, so I could just put the pen here, or here, or on the other side.
They invented magnets in time.
They invented magnets. Thank God. This is the thing that's really weird. Now, when they sold me this, it was a special offer, and now it has ended. It was through December 1st. They threw in the $100 dial, they call it. And the dial's interesting. It can sit on the screen. If I press and hold it, I can actually use the screen to set what the dial does. In this case, there's not a whole lot it can do. It's either set the volume or make it brighter.
If you put it on the owl's eye, does it change the eye color?
That would be kind of cool, wouldn't it? But no.
So I was actually scared because you put it on earlier and it started sliding.
In fact, it's sliding very slowly.
Went to the Microsoft store, put it down, and it slid off, fell on the floor, and broke. And they said it wasn't the first one.
Okay, well, don't do that then. It does have kind of sticky-ish material, but you don't want to have a sucker.
No, and you've got like oily fingers all over the screen, just making
problem.
A ski ramp.
The bottom comes off very easily. It's just a magnet, and it has two AAA batteries, and it pairs via Bluetooth. But what is cool is if you have software, and there isn't a whole lot yet, but if you have software that understands this, you can do different things depending, very much like Apple Touch Bar. Yeah.
And you said you could put it on, then take it off, and remember where you were, so you didn't have to sort of leave.
That's right. I'll use Sketchable, which is one of the few programs that understands it. What they anticipate, and by the way, the touch is great.
We were playing with Big Maps forever. I can do all of this.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a nat. I got to use two fingers if I want to move it. But okay. So I drew on this drawing. Let's see what I can do to undo it. So I'm going to now put it on there, and I'm going to choose. Oh, by the way, it's set for a righty. So normally I have it set for a lefty. I'm going to make the dial be undo.
Mm.
And once it's undo, now I can undo or redo the stuff I've done to this drawing.
Really useful, Ilya? Is it more of a gimmick at this point?
You know, you'd have to ask an artist, and I'd have to ask, you know, you're a graphic designer, I know, and we're going to bring an artist in here in just a second and ask her, but I think the premise is that you would be drawing with one hand, and as you're drawing, you could do other things. By the way, I could pick a palette on this, I could pick zoom. So you can have different things you could do, and you'd be doing that with your left hand while you're drawing with your right hand.
I only ask because I use Procreate on the iPad Pro, and you can use twist. I think it's actually paper. You use two fingers to twist to undo.
Yeah.
I just want the button.
Yeah.
like it's a cool gimmick, but then after a few minutes, I just want the button.
Yeah, well, you know, and I say the same thing, frankly, about the... I'm completely... There's even a little...
Oh, it's replaying it. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I say the same thing about the Mac Touch Bar. A lot of times these new UIs... Maybe they're gimmicky. Maybe we just haven't played with them long enough. But the jury's still out, if you ask me. And I'm not the guy for this. However, I have to say, I've been using it on the show, and I really love this. I feel like this is a very natural way to interact with your screen. I'm not so much for drawing. Let me close Sketchable out. But even for things like browsing, the ability to open up... Let's open up a new screen.
You're not running. You're running it in desktop mode, not tablet mode.
Yeah, people who watch me use this say, "Oh, you should really run it in tablet mode. It's easy enough to put it in tablet mode." I think tablet mode is really not Microsoft's finest hour.
Because I could see you carry this into a Starbucks, put it down, and play Candy Crush.
Yeah, but you can do that in or desktop or tablet. It doesn't really matter, and it's easy enough to switch. I just happen to like desktop mode. I like having the start bar down here, and a normal start bar, not the one that takes over the whole screen and all of that.
And the tap targets, you can hit them.
Yeah. And even in tablet mode, by the way, unless the program is designed for tablet mode, notice I'm in Chrome, I'm in tablet mode, I still have the tiny Chrome.
Yeah, Google does not know from tablet
right.
mode.
Right. I'll tell you what, though, I'll launch Lightroom, because Lightroom does have a tablet mode. Let me see, there it is. See, I don't like this big screen. It's really kind of cool, though. I mean, I can scroll around, I can zoom in on a website. I'm in Chrome here. I can play with it.
It's like Minority Report.
Yeah. I really love the natural way of interacting with it. Here's our Christmas card. And if I go into... So this is normal Lightroom. If I tap here, now I'm in the touch mode Lightroom, which is very much like Lightroom for the tablet. You know, it puts the controls down at the bottom. It's not how I'm used to working with Lightroom, but I could. I mean, the fact that I can zoom in and I... But you see, it's a little bit slow. Now, I don't know if this is because Lightroom... Or that the i5 plus 8 gigs of RAM and the slow hard drive. But,
or the GPU.
It could be a lot of things, you know. So I'm not convinced that the low end, the basic model, is going to be enough horsepower for people who are real professionals.
The ones that are really tuned for the computer, that are writing to the metal, have phenomenal performance. And like things like Chrome kind of just sit there and suck battery.
Yeah, Chrome is notorious for that. I'll tell you, all in all, it's overpriced. It's underpowered, and it's still the most exciting computer I've used in years.
So you're
Yeah, yeah, it's like Apple, and it is in a way Microsoft's version of Apple hardware. You know, we're going to do something for a small market, the creative market, and we're going to just make it perfect for them. And it's going to cost an awful lot of money.
What happened? We flipped. Apple used to make these computers for small little niches. Yeah, and then IBM was everywhere, and now we have Apple everywhere and niche computers from Microsoft.
It's
the darkest timeline.
Yeah, they're saying my display is too dark. I'll show you. It's very easy to increase the brightness of this by just adjusting this up here. So you can just tell me when it's... We don't like the display to be too bright. How's that owl look now? Oh! So, you know, you will use it like a normal computer in an all-in-one configuration. You might tilt it down if you want to. It doesn't go all the way flat. It goes down to 20 degrees. Microsoft says that's because we didn't want people to put their coffee cups on here. But this is like a drafting table. And, in fact, here's a nice little touch. If I move the keyboard... right up against the base of this. This then now folds down around it. It doesn't... It's smart enough
to... So is it like up high for office and then down low for art? So it's sort of like all business up
mullet,
high and a party
down low?
It's the
mullet of personal computers, Business on the top and party on the back. No, I think this is really aimed at a creative professional who's going to be using touch. And I have to say, the one takeaway from this for me... with regards to Apple, is Apple has said all along, nobody wants touch on a desktop. And I think in this configuration, they're probably right. Yeah. This is not natural to reach your arm out and touch. But when it's down in the drafting board configuration...
It's a big iPad. It's magnificent.
It is just like a 28-inch iPad. And it is natural. And touch does come naturally. And you really do want to touch. And there's something very intimate. Even things like in our chat room, there's a degree of
direct
connect, exactly, that is... unlike any other, and the ability to, you know, kind of move around.
He's highlighting you, chat room. You are being highlighted.
Yeah, I don't know why it's doing that. It's supposed to scroll. In fact,
I like
it does.
This way more. I spent years on a Cintiq, and this already impresses me way more than any Cintiq ever.
Cintiq
did.
Is Wacom's.
Yes.
It's very expensive, as expensive as this touch screen that you would then hook up to a computer. And that's one thing I would love to see Microsoft do, and they said we are not going to do this. It seems to me that the real strength of this is this screen. And if they were to get rid of this kind of low-powered CPU and let me buy this as a screen, even at a $2,500 screen that I then attach to a super powerful computer, that would be a more compelling purchase for the creative professional.
Most people buy laptops now. The desktop market is dwindling. And if you had your awesome laptop, you took it with you, but when you're home, you have this display
or
your studio.
You dock it to this.
Like Jim Lee could be using this.
Yeah. So I thought the best way really, though, I mean, so in any event, I mean, my review is, wow, this thing knocks me out. I really love it. I'm disappointed that it's so expensive and that Microsoft makes it so underpowered. But we thought we'd get an artist in here to play with it. So Svetlana Shmokova is not only an artist, but happens to be married to Patrick Delahanty, one of our fine programmers here. She's written a number of children's books. Svetlana, come on in, including this, Awkward. Her newest is Brave, which is the sequel to Awkward. And these are graphics novels, and they're very, by the way, very popular with the middle school set, would you say, pretty much? And we thought we'd give you the chance to use this. Here's the pen.
Thank you.
Here's the dial. Arrange this as you like it, because I've kind of rearranged it since we were here last. I know you didn't want the keyboard right there. You wanted it right up here. And enjoy. And we're going to let Svet play with the Surface Studio. And coming up, we're going to have a lot more fun. In fact, we're going to show you a way to light up your bike at night. But first, I want to tell you about our sponsor for today, Blue Apron. I'm sorry, Blue Apron is not available in Canada, Renee.
Aww.
But they do ship to 99% of the continental United States. You'll see why in a second. They are shipping you not a frozen box, but a refrigerated box with fresh meat, fish, vegetables from local farms. It's important that it gets to you in a timely way because it's absolutely fresh and delicious. In the box, everything you need to make three different meals. You can make three different meals for two people or three different meals for your family. Each one costs about $10 per person, and you're going to cook it. So you don't. The whole idea here is, you don't want to have to do meal planning and go shopping. What you'd like to do, what I'd like to do, and I do it all the time, I love it, you go to the Blue Apron site, you look at the menus for the week. They, by the way, always new stuff in there. They only repeat at most once a year. So they have some seasonal favorites they're going to bring back. You pick the meals you want, and then they come to you in these refrigerated boxes. Exactly what you need, too. If you need one shallot, one clove of garlic, if you need, you know, four eggplants, you get exactly what you need, so there's never any waste. They've got a beautiful recipe card that shows you how to make it, and there's videos on their website for even more cooking skills. You'll find that you can cook these meals in around 45 minutes, and the house smells wonderful. The family gets excited. What are you cooking? Well, I'm cooking some fish tacos. You're going to love these. I hate doing these ads because I get so hungry. Look at this. BlueApron.com. We're going to get you your first three meals free at Blue Apron, but you got to go to blueapron.com/twit. blueapron.com/twit. I think you're going to love this. Three meals free. Blue Apron's mission to bring everybody the highest quality ingredients to make home cooking accessible, supporting a more sustainable food system and building a community of home chefs. You want to try it? Free for the first three. Go to blueapron.com/twit. Coming up next, monkey lights. You're going to want to ride these around Montreal. These are bike
totally
lights
do.
That say things. They have images, and they'll keep you safe at night. We'll show you those. In fact, they've got a Kickstarter going with their new monkey light. But first, Father Robert with a way to keep your kids peaceful on those long family travels. Watch.
Are you looking for a way to keep your adults and children entertained on your holiday travels? If so, I may have some gadgets for you. I'm Father Robert Ballesher, the digital Jesuit host of This Week in Enterprise Tech and Know-How on the Twit TV network. And the first product you're going to want to take a look at is this. This is the RAV Power File Hub WD01. It's an SD card reader that's also a USB flash drive reader. Now, if it was just that, that wouldn't be all that exciting. It also has a 3,000 milliamp hour battery, which makes it a battery bank, so it can keep your tablet, your phone, whatever it might be, charged up on that long ride. But where it really shines is the fact that it is a wireless bridge. This will take any media that you give it, either this SD card or something plugged into the USB drive, and then allow it to be shared to any devices connected wirelessly to the built-in access point. This means that everyone in the car can watch a catalog of movies that you've downloaded beforehand, or maybe even some downloaded YouTube videos, which, by the way, if you want to know how to do, make sure to watch Know How. Now, the second device I have is a bit more expensive. This file hub is only going to cost you about $30, but the Archeer, the HDP200 Pico projector, is going to be $200. That sounds like a lot, but wait, because it's incredible. First, it's a 4,000 milliamp hour battery bank, which means, again, it's going to keep your devices charged. But it's also a projector. It's a 100 lumen pico projector. It's 4 by 4 by 0.8 inches, 250 grams, so it's super light. But with that 100 lumen LED lamp, it can project 854 by 480 native resolution. It can scale from 640 by 480 all the way up to 1920 by 1080. And it can run for about 100 minutes on a single charge. With a 1-watt speaker, it's a one-stop shop. You have got HDMI in, you've got USB, which means that you can play off of standard media, and you can broadcast to it wirelessly with any Android, iOS, or Windows mobile device. This is a one-stop shop for entertainment, especially if, well, I don't know, say you were to combine it with a Raspberry Pi and some RetroPie action. You can see all of these gadgets and more by watching me on KnowHow every Thursday and Monday with Cranky Hippo. Until then, happy holidays.
Thank you, Father Robert. KnowHow every week on this network. We're going to take a look at these bike lights, but real quickly, I just want to see what Svet's up to. Yeah, she started a new drawing. Look at that.
Wow.
This is so cool. Besides just getting to watch an artist at work.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really interesting to see. She's using Photoshop. This seems to lend itself pretty well.
It looks
well.
So natural. It doesn't look like it's digital.
The palm rejection is pretty good, too. I mean, she's resting her palm on the screen, but it seems to only see the pen.
And the pressure sensitivity.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Oh, that's fun. It's not something you couldn't do on an iPad Pro, but 28-inch
It's the first time
screen.
We can do that on the tablet and on the desktop.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
28-inch screen. It's pretty amazing.
So you told me I had to power the whole brick house.
You're going to be riding the bike. Do you ride a bike?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
You're quite a fitness guy. I know because I see your watch every freaking morning.
I'm on East Coast time. I get a bit of a head start.
You have 3 or 4 weeks of every single day of the week exercising?
I've got two perfect months so far. On Apple.
Two perfect months?
Two perfect months.
And he says, now I have to keep it up.
Those rings, yo. Yeah, no, it's pressure. You can't.
It's all about the rings, man.
The minute I don't, everyone will know. Leo will send me a ha-ha.
All right, we're going to talk about Monkey Lights. Joining us right now, Phil Yip. He's the general manager of Monkey Electric.com. Hi, Phil.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. Now, we have put the both the new and the old monkey light on this bicycle here. You might say, well, I don't see anything on the wheels. Well, this is the old original monkey light, right?
Yeah, that's
I'm going to turn it on. If you press it once, it turns it on. Press it twice, it makes it even brighter. Now, it's flashing right now, but we're going to go ahead and get on there.
This may go badly for everybody. Let's
Renee,
see.
And get that spinning. And
Whee!
What happens is, you know, because of persistence of vision, it starts to draw pictures. What can he do? What does the original monkey light do?
This is the M232 model that Renee has on the wheel. It shows 42 different patterns from, looks like we're looking at elephants right now, to hearts and stars, lightning.
And it's in a random, we put it in a random mode, so it just goes through all of these.
Default is like a shuffle mode.
Space Invaders.
Oh yeah, this is cool. So this is a safety feature as well as a cool feature. I mean, I feel like you could ride this on the playa at Burning Man and you'd get.
I feel like it's safe for me, but other people will be staring at it. They might have
bad for drivers. How much? So this is this one. This is the M232 Monkey Light. How much does this cost?
The retail price for that is $59.
Okay. And there's all of the different patterns it'll do. And you're now working on new versions, the A10, the A15, and the A30. In fact, you'll see it if you go to Kickstarter and you search for monkey lights. You'll see these new. We actually have a prototype A10 on here. So what are the new ones going to do?
Well, the main thing is they're the most convenient lights that we've ever made. They have smart sensors on them, so they turn on automatically. All you need to do is ride your bike. And unlike some other bike lights where you have to take them off when you're leaving your bike somewhere, these are designed to be left on. We include a stainless steel strap so that they stay on there as a theft deterrent. So all you have to do is ride your bike and they work.
What's the difference between the different models, the 10, 15, and the 30?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the 30 is the biggest one, so it's going to be quite similar to the 232 Renee, that you were riding with there. It has more light, has 16 LEDs on each side.
It's really bright. Keep pedaling. Don't stop.
I got caught.
Keep going.
Switch cameras, switch cameras.
Now, we had to set the frame rate on our camera just so that you could see these patterns. But in studio, they look incredible. And on at night on the street, everybody would be able to see them as well.
The chat room was asking how much weight they add.
The light itself is, I think, maybe 50-some grams. The battery pack is, well, mainly it's the weight of three batteries. So they do add a little bit of weight to your wheel, but it's not noticeable at all when you're riding.
It's good for you. I mean, exercise, people.
And look how bright this is. I mean, this is Anthony riding down the street. I think it's Anthony. Is that Anthony? Yeah. In broad daylight, and you could still see this just fine. I mean, it's very visible. At night, it's, of course, even more visible.
Why monkey lights? Why not, like, ocelot lights or meerkat lights?
You know, I've heard maybe 5-10 different stories about how the name came about, and I don't know if any of them are true.
How's the Kickstarter going so far on the new models?
Well, you know, I think you just showed a screenshot. We're at about 147K right now.
Nice.
Our target is 220,000. We have until Friday, December 9th, so 6 days to go, not a lot of time. It's a little nerve-wracking right now, you know? We know that Kickstarter projects... the funding really picks up the last couple of days. We don't know how much of that's going to apply to us, but we're hoping for a big bump.
I hope
we'd
so
really
too.
Like to make these happen.
Can you spell messages, or is it just pictures?
Oh, trash talk.
So, for these lights, they will come pre-programmed with a number of different patterns, but you won't be able to put your own custom one. We have launched a Kickstarter in the past where we did have a crazy customizable, basically a video screen for your bike wheel.
Nate,
what's the sweet spot on the Kickstarter? Which one should people go for?
Well, I can
Sorry,
say
Leo.
That that most people go for two A30s, so one for their front wheel.
Oh yeah, because you want one for each wheel, yeah.
Yeah, I personally, since I have access to the new prototypes, I've been running A10 combo and. It's been fantastic on my bike.
It's so much fun. It looks, Renee, you should have picked something on your activity just to pick
I
indoor
cycle. I should have.
Indoor
I'm getting
cycle.
No credit for this.
You're getting no credit at all. My
this
God,
is the worst.
Renee. Let me on that thing. I need some rings.
All right.
So what size bicycles? Will they fit on a kid's bike?
Yeah, definitely fit on a kid's bike.
Okay.
As small as a 16-inch wheel. And the model that you have on the screen right there and its successor, the A30, will fit on 20-inch wheels and larger.
Yeah, it's not very big. What kind of battery is in this? You said triple A's, double A's?
Yeah, the current ones that are out now have three double A batteries. The new one's going to have a USB rechargeable battery, so you can just plug
cool.
it into your computer or whatever.
Arc reactor.
I like that, too. So, this is really neat. And you could pick a different you wouldn't have to cycle through all the images, I presume. I could choose. It looks like theme and color.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, so you can say, today I feel like purple hearts, and then you press
you match
whatever buttons
charms.
You need to make that happen.
I love this. This is so much fun. Look at these. Are all the colors.
Purple hearts.
That is
color.
Really neat. LEDs. Is there anything they can't do? Well, there you go. This is the Monkey Light, and if you want to get in on the Kickstarter, you have a few more days left at Kickstarter.com. Just search for Monkey Light on there. And Phil Yip is the general manager at monkeyelectric.com. That's the website, monkeyelectric.com. Phil, thanks for joining us.
These are
epic.
This is cool.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I want to ride these around.
Let's do it.
I mean, we'd become famous, wouldn't we? It's those guys with the lights on their wheels.
Yeah, the light guys.
I love those guys.
It's so they're
on. If you don't mind, I can show you one quick thing.
Oh, he's got a surprise.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Yeah. Shall I?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Whoa. What? What? What?
Oh,
that's
no, you
me.
Did it.
What the what? Is that the
is that
the old Kickstarter? Or is
yes,
that...
so this is our previous Kickstarter from 2013.
How could it not have been funded if you had showed people that? Oh, my goodness. Well, is there any chance that'll ever surface, that we'll be able to do that?
Well, so this one's out now.
Oh, you can get it.
Right,
yeah,
after.
So we did reach our funding goal for that one.
Oh, good. What model is that?
That is the Monkey Light Pro.
Oh. I'm getting the Monkey Light Pro.
Likewise.
It's got my picture on it. Oh, it's got lightning?
Bring the thunder.
Bring the thunder. I want the Monkey Light.
Yeah, basically you can put whatever you want onto it.
Oh, so that one's programmable.
You have one for each Twit host. It'd be great.
I know. I'll put you on the front wheel.
Awesome.
I'll be on the back. It'll be perfect. Thank you, Philip. That's really cool. Monkey Light, monkeyelectric.com. Wouldn't a kid love that for Christmas?
Yeah.
Put their picture on it. Say, just ride it around and see what happens. It's me! Or put my picture on it. That'll scare them.
That bike will be 100% safe.
Who's that? Monkey.
It's Leo.
It's Leo. MonkeyElectric.com. How's it going, Svet? Our artist, Svetlana Shmakova, is drawing. Oh,
wow.
My goodness. Oh, jeez. When you see somebody who really knows
what
they're
doing. Yeah, it makes you never want to pick up the program again.
Svetlana's website is svetlania.com, but make sure you pick up her books, Awkward, in the bookstores right now.
It's
the
amazing.
Graphic novels, they're beautiful. There's a whole bunch of them, too. That's great. Well, we'll check in again in a little bit. We're going to answer some questions. It's going to be time for a call for help in a moment. We're going to New Brunswick.
Yes,
the Maritimes.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Your people.
Eastern Canada.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Johannesburg, South Africa.
And then you moved to Montreal as a kid?
Yeah, because who wants good weather?
I came for the waters.
I did.
Yes. But, Rick, it's
came
a desert.
For seasons.
I was misinformed.
Yeah.
I thought there'd be no snow.
They said it was nice up in
Now, here's something you can get in Canada and all over the world, the Ring Video Doorbell. This is the hottest thing right now. In fact, they're selling so well, they've told us, can you slow down on the ads? But I won't! I won't!
Georgia
Everybody needs
one.
To get a
she
Ring Video
one.
Doorbell.
She sees my face.
Hurry,
won't let me in.
Hurry, see, my doorbell's ringing right now. Look at that. That's the beauty of the Ring Video
it's
doorbell.
Fantastic.
I put one on our doorbell at home. Now, we have a wired doorbell, so we're just taking off the old one and putting on the Ring Video doorbell. All the tools, everything you need, even a little level and everything, so you could do a good job. I'm no handyman. I was able to do it. No problem at all. And now I join it to the Wi-Fi. So when somebody rings my doorbell, it rings on my phone, on my Mac, on my PC. I can see who's there. In fact, there's a motion detector on it. So it has a high-def camera. If somebody comes up my stoop, I can see it. I can see what's going on in my house at all times. I love the
Ring. Just leave the package. I swear I'm here. Leave
well,
it.
Well, you know, did you know this? That 23 million Americans had packages stolen from their homes.
I believe it.
Last year, 23 million. Hey, but the beauty part is the FedEx guy comes. You say, leave the package. Now you can keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
You know, Russell, our IT guy, gets deliveries every day. And because he's a contract IT guy, he's always out in the field. So when his Ring rings at his office, he picks up. He says, here's the door code. Just put it inside the door. I mean, this is an amazing
Georgia,
thing.
I've been out to dinner with her, my colleague, and the doorbell will ring. And she'll say, no, the kids aren't home right now, but they'll be home in 10 minutes, and they can come out
awesome.
And play with you then. It's
yeah,
amazing.
It's just awesome. So you get the motion detection, you get the camera, you get a speaker and a microphone, so you can talk to anybody at your door, and they can talk to you anywhere in the world. So don't wait. If you've been putting this off, it'll be a great holiday gift. But I got to tell you, there's flying off the shelves. So visit ring.com/NSS and choose one of the Ring of Security kits. You can either get the original Ring, that's what I have, or the new Ring Pro, that's a 1080p camera. And it's a little smaller because it doesn't have the battery in it. So you do have to have a wired doorbell if you're going to use the Ring Pro. And the kit can include, of course, every kit includes the lighted Ring sign. Let the bad guys know I'm paying attention here. But you can also get kits that include the Ring stick-up cam, which is basically a Ring doorbell without the doorbell. It's got the camera, the motion detector, the speaker, the microphone. You can put it in other parts of your house so that you can monitor your whole area. It also has a solar panel that goes with it. So it's really wireless. It doesn't even have to have power. It uses Wi-Fi. And the solar panel charges it up at day, and it runs all night. It's really awesome. You see also there on the left, that's the chime. That's for people who have parts of the house that they don't hear the doorbell. You just plug it into the wall. It pairs with your Wi-Fi. And then when somebody rings your doorbell, the chime rings as well. Put it in your workshop, in the gym, anywhere that you can't hear the main doorbell ring. So pick the device you need, the stick-up cams, the chime, the Ring, the Pro or the new, the old Ring, and put together a Ring of Security kit. You'll get up to $150 on a Ring of Security kit right now if you go to ring.com/NSS. This would be a really great holiday gift for loved ones, for if you have your older parents. Actually, Lisa, that reminds me, when we go visit Mom, let's bring the Ring Security Kit, and I can install that for her in her house. Because she's older. She's 83. Yeah. The doorbell rings. It's going to take her 10 minutes to get to the door. She wants to be able to
and
say...
And it may not be worth it.
And it may just be some kids.
Yeah.
So she wants to see who's there and say, look, can you wait 10 minutes? I'll be there.
Leo, is that you again?
I'm on my way. Actually, a lot of times it's just the grandkids. She can say, Will and Grady, come on in. Ring Video Doorbell. I know there's people in your life who could use this. It'd be a great holiday gift, but don't delay. They're selling fast. Ring.com/NSS. Ring.com/NSS to save up to $150 on a Ring of Security kit. We're going to answer a tech question, but before we do, Megan Maroney's here to help you split the bill. Send money through your phone. Watch.
Here's a hack for those strained money conversations you have with your friends, roommates, coworkers, and even your family members. Now, my father used to tell me that before you borrow money from a friend, decide what you want more, the friend or the money. Let me set the scene. You're out with your friends, you'd order a few cocktails, you forgot your credit card, and you've got no cash. Do you create a distraction and then run? Do you write a check? Maybe, if you never want to see those friends anymore. Chances are, even if you don't have your wallet, you probably have your phone. Here are three apps that let you prevent being a freeloader. Let's start with Venmo. Venmo is the app to get to pay your friends, or so my millennial friends tell me. Once you've downloaded the app, signed in, added a payment source, and connected your contacts, you can pay or request payment. Enter the name and the reason. You can even use emoji. Now, one big note on security. By default, Venmo shares the names and reasons you're paying people, which makes it extraordinarily easy to find out who your Facebook friends are having drinks with, or who their babysitters are, or what kind of mischief they've been up to, and who is making them pay for it. To adjust the privacy of your Venmo transactions, tap the menu, tap settings, tap privacy and sharing, and under who can share transactions involving you, choose only me. Next, there's PayPal. Here's a little secret you might not know. PayPal owns Venmo. I think the company likes to keep this a secret since Venmo is for the cool kids and PayPal is for the olds. Still, if you need to send money to someone fast, who cares? Like Venmo, you can access PayPal on iOS, Android, or on the web. On iOS, the PayPal app lets you log in with Touch ID to save time. It accepts credit, debit, or bank transfer and charges you nothing for personal use. The transaction takes 3 to 5 business days. Tap to send or request money, sign up for an account, connect your contacts, and follow the steps in the app. You can also use the PayPal app to order food ahead of time, pay in some stores, and store your loyalty cards. Finally, there's Facebook Messenger. Messenger is not just for sending stickers and chatting with bots. You can also send or request money for free. Enter the recipient's name. If the person is not your Facebook friend, you can still send or request money. But if the person is not on Facebook at all, then you're out of luck. Tap the icon with the dollar sign at the bottom of the page and follow the instructions on the page. You'll need to enter a debit card. Facebook will not let you use credit cards. If you already use Facebook Messenger with your friends and family, this is a good option for paying or receiving money. If you just want an easy way to send or receive money from people, I'd say go with Venmo or PayPal. If you use an iPhone, they both work with Siri. I am Megan Maroney. I host iOS Today every Monday at 1:30 Pacific and Tech News Today with Jason Howell every Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific.
Thank you, Megan Maroney. We'll see you on Monday for iOS Today. I also use a PayPal service called XOOM or Zoom. Have you used them?
I have not.
So my daughter was in Mexico for the last 9 months and needed some money. It was a really easy way to, very affordable too. It was just a few dollars. You could send it to a bank, but she said, well, it would be a lot easier if you could send it to the drugstore down the street, and I could.
Oh, wow.
And she just went to the drugstore, she showed some ID, and was able to get money. And they do this not just Mexico, but all over the world. This is another way to send money through PayPal, and it worked really well for me. And you see that there's all sorts of places that, that people could pick up. You pick the city and
Western Union on digital.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because when she first asked, I thought, well, I could send you a wire.
Yes, a wire transfer.
I don't know how to do that anymore. And it turns out Western Union got out of that business.
I bet.
I don't think I'll be doing that.
Pony Express, Western Union, now this.
Yes, this is what happens. Hey, let's check in with Svet and see how she's doing. Oh man.
My goodness.
Our artist, Svetlana Shamakova.
I think she likes it.
She is the author of many beautiful graphic novels for young adults, like Awkward and Brave, which has just come out. And this has taken her half an hour.
Yeah, real time.
It's neat. I asked her. She said palm rejection is very good. She'd had a problem earlier, but it's been doing a great job. And I said, would you prefer to do this or use real media? She said, oh, my goodness. I prefer.
Yeah.
I make a mistake. I just turn the dial.
No more cutting and putting paper over it.
Unlimited undo is a blessing. What a beautiful.
No more tracing paper.
What a beautiful painting. She's doing that not from a picture, just from memory. Yeah.
It's not even doing all this. You know, when you build it up using shapes first and blue pencil?
No, she just draws.
Right out of the brain.
Yep. Boom. Very nice. I think we're going to have to get you one, Renee.
Yeah.
Let's go to New Brunswick, Canada. Not in real life, because it's probably pretty cold right now.
Yeah.
It's south of you.
My sister lived in Fredericton, New Brunswick. They were getting ready to put in their first escalator.
Well, by now, it's working. Let's see.
I bet.
Peter's on the line from New Brunswick, Canada. Hello, Peter. How's that escalator working?
Oh, well, I went to Fredericton last week to see the escalator.
Was there a crowd? Did you have to wait in line?
Yeah, there was like a half hour wait, but that we're used to standing in lines.
We're just teasing you. Obviously, you're a musician. Is this your performance shack here?
Storage places for my guitars and other things. Yeah,
you get stuck there too from time to time, I guess.
Yeah, it's actually snowing today.
We
get a little bit of flurries. So.
Yikes! Yeah. Well, what can we do for you, Peter?
I've had problems with my iPhones for the last three of them. With the music from iTunes loading on the phone, files will load in, but like if it's a 3 minute long song, it might play 30 seconds and then the rest of the file will be blank. It'll play through it, but there's no sound to it. Or you'll switch to the next song, it'll show the album art and then go to the next song out. Mm-hmm.
Clearly, instantly. Those files are getting corrupted.
Yes.
Right? How do you get music on your iPhone? Do you do it wirelessly or do you connect a USB cable to your computer?
USB cable.
Hmm. That seems like that would be a more reliable way to do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And do you use iTunes Match or is this stuff you've bought off the iTunes store?
It's stuff I've bought off the iTunes thing. And it's happened like maybe once on things that I've ripped. But it's happened multiple times. And, like, I can sync up, again, the songs that we had problems with will work now. But now other
Something
songs
else.
Will be. Yeah.
So that's interesting. It doesn't happen as much on songs that you made yourself. It happens mostly with Apple-purchased music.
Yeah, and are the songs okay on iTunes on your Mac or PC? It's just the iPhone that they truncate?
It's just the iPhone, yeah.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we've got Renee Ritchie here, who's an expert on all things Macintosh, because I have no idea.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we're dealing with iTunes here. I mean, that's
iTunes
the bad news.
You said it's like a black box.
And yeah,
you shake it,
you hear something's broken inside, but you can't see into it to see what's broken.
Well, one thing that I thought might have been the problem is clicking that change high bit rate down to 125. So I unclicked it, but still had the same problem.
Yeah, I would not let iTunes re-encode it.
Yeah.
That's, of course, to save you space.
We have so much space these days.
Yeah, there's a setting. Yeah, unless you have a 16-gig iPhone. There's
I got a 125.
Yeah,
you should be you're fine.
So there's a setting that says just resample everything down to 128-bit AAC, which, by the way, is pretty good.
Yeah, you won't hear much of a difference at all.
But, that's one potential error because that would be doing that on the fly as it copies it over.
And this is a known error, so we were looking
into it. Oh, it is a known error.
Yeah, it is. Kirk Elman has written about it. Several people have written about it. I think Chris Breen wrote about it back in the day. And it just seems to happen. And maddeningly, you've stumbled upon the only solution that seems to work for people, and that is removing the local copy on your iPhone or your it does happen to some
doing
people
it,
on
redoing
the computer.
It.
Yeah, and either re-downloading it because you can re-download. I'd also suggest trying to re-download directly onto your iPhone to see if the copy you get over the air from Apple is the full version of the song.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
So I can guess what's wrong here because we see this all the time in computer copies. You know, in fact, Windows was notorious for having this problem, which is that the copy isn't really verified. It's not checksummed. It just says, you know, give me some bytes. And it assumes it got all the bytes. And clearly what's happening is it's saying, okay, I want that song. It gets part of the way through. Something goes wrong. And it just goes to the next song instead of making sure it got a full, complete, matching copy. And that's really because the copy routines aren't very well written.
Absolutely.
Windows actually started including a program called RoboCopy so that you could actually do a verified copy because their copy was so bad. They finally fixed that, by the way. I can't remember if it was Windows 8 or Windows 10, but they finally fixed the really poor copy routines that had plagued Windows for many versions. It's my guess that that's exactly what's going on here. So it makes sense that one way to do this, you know, of course, you can kind of do the spin the wheel and see, do it again and see if it does it again. But one way to do this would be use a different method entirely. So either using Wi-Fi for the syncing, maybe Wi-Fi the copy routine in Wi-Fi would be better, or downloading from Apple's servers using iTunes Match. And really, all you're doing is saying, well, let's try a different copy routine to see if it's more reliable.
Yeah, and maybe they'll give you a version of the song that's not being messed with. But there is a script. If it does happen to you in iTunes on the desktop, there is an Apple script you can run that'll identify the truncated songs. And then you can just go through quickly, put them in a playlist, delete those.
Oh, Doug's famous Apple scripts for iTunes. Doug's been doing this for so long. This is a four-year-old script, but it still works.
It's a four-year-old problem.
Sal Segoyan is no longer at Apple. You could still, for now, use Apple script.
But to your point, they need to start verifying that at a bit level.
I don't know why this is so hard, but it must be because Microsoft Windows users suffered for years with bad copy.
And you could see the Apple, in some of the threads, Apple support trying to help them, saying, what was your ISP? What was your bandwidth? Did you have any packet loss? And
No.
Check it and ask for it again.
It's a bad copy routine. Yeah. It's not doing a check afterwards to validate that it got the full version. And these things, are not unusual in computing. It's just incredibly frustrating because you don't have another way to do
it. Absolutely. It's not something the user should worry about.
Have you tried just using Wi-Fi to copy the files?
Yeah. And
same thing?
Same thing, yeah.
And direct download, same thing?
Yeah.
See, I don't think it's your phone. I don't think it's your music.
Well, it sounds like he's gone through three phones, too.
And I don't think it's iTunes specifically.
Yeah. Well, the version on his computer seemed to work, which is strange.
Yeah, it's a failure in iTunes in the copying. And, boy,
You must copy a whole library, right? That's why you're doing it over the USB.
Yeah. Well, that's why I got the 125 phone, so I can have my whole library in it.
I remember this happening with my iPod.
Absolutely.
And I would play I would have a playlist, and it would jump through each song in a second, and it would go boom, 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 boom. Playlist done. Yeah. Wait a minute, I didn't hear anything. So this is not a new problem. No. I haven't had it happen in a long time. But I think many of us stream more,
absolutely.
Right? So we're not copying music over as much.
Absolutely.
And so maybe the problem isn't going away.
And the streaming is doing all that because it has to, because there's so many problems with streaming. Yeah, so it's checking every few seconds.
Well, I'm sorry you called, Peter. I don't have an answer.
I will keep looking into this. We've got myself and Serenity Caldwell on the job.
All right.
We will look into this.
Ren does the best stuff on iMore.com. If you read Serenity's stories on how to get the most out of all of Apple Music and iTunes Match, she's the queen of this stuff. And if Renee and Serenity haven't yet figured this out, I don't think there's anybody. This set reminds me a little bit of...
we'll call Eddie Q and just ask.
Yeah. But, we've been complaining about iTunes for years.
Absolutely.
And
it's Apple's Windows XP.
We thought they would have fixed this. I remember we were all excited about WWDC because, they're going to announce a revamped iTunes. And instead it was
they just
like...
They just want you on stream now. They don't have to deal with the mechanics of syncing anymore.
I think that's really it, is that... And you would think that this is a big enough company they could do both.
Yeah.
But it really feels like they've said, well, nobody's listening.
Too many targets, too many points, endpoints.
So, Peter, I don't know if that's any reassurance. You're not alone. There's that Doug's Apple script. That might be something to try to at least get it doing. Once it's on there, it's not going to go bad, right? If you listen to it once and you know it's good, it doesn't ever go bad, does it?
Oh, yeah, eventually. But this is after another sync.
Another copy.
So I'm thinking it'll fix the ones that are on then mess up on other ones.
Yeah, but once it's on there, don't plug it in ever again.
It's just a different 10% every time.
Once it's on there and it continues to play, then that means it's not getting corrupted on the phone. It almost certainly gets corrupted in the transfer over into the phone.
If you get one of those gold USB cables. No, don't do that.
No. They should be doing a check, a verification, and they're not. Hey, it's great to talk to you. I think this is not our first time. I feel like I've met you before, sir.
I was there a month ago.
Somehow.
I'm the one that does the podcast.
Oh!
There we go.
I'd App That. I knew I knew you from somewhere, Peter. How's that going?
Good. We did an episode last night, and I'm trying to get a hold of you to come visit and do an episode, and maybe even Renee. If you'd like.
Where can we find the podcast, I'd App That?
It's on Blazing Caribou Studios.
Okay.
That's such a great Canadian name.
Yeah, but they're actually from Minnesota and Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they're American Canadians. Minnesota's fine.
There you go. And it's on iTunes, of course.
Blazing Caribou Studios.
And I bet you it copies completely and perfectly
every time.
Yeah. Of course it does.
And then we erase it and go on to the next one.
It's great to see you again, Peter. Thanks for thanks for calling in. Appreciate
Thanks, Peter.
Take care. Yeah, he was in studio. We had a lot of fun. Now, it's wonderful having Renee here, and that's why we try to get questions that are in Renee's wheelhouse. Next week, we're going to go to Android because Flo is here. Oh, that Flo, Florence Ion. If you've got an Android question, here's how you can ask it for next week's show.
Need tech help? The new screensavers are here with answers. Email your tech questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv.
We're going to check back in with our artist in just a bit, Svetlana Chmakova, who is working very hard on a beautiful portrait on the creative, Surface
Studio.
Surface, thank you. Creative Edition is the next version of Windows.
Yes.
That's the Surface Studio.
And the Creative Studios is the door. It's so confusing.
It's very confusing. Yeah. The only thing is, 28 inches, you need a lot of space.
Yes.
You'd need a lot of space for that.
Yes.
They tried putting it in my office at my desk, and it took over the desk. I couldn't use it. But if you have a big area, if you're an artist, it's like
a drafting table.
Think of it as a drafting table. That's what it is, really, right? Our show today brought to you by Braintree. If you're a developer and you want to add payments to your mobile app or your website, can I please beg of you, do not attempt to do it yourself. I know, you know, everybody, I know you're the world's greatest programmer. I know that. You don't have to prove anything. But there's just something about authentication, money, transactions that is dangerous. And you don't want to do it wrong because you don't want your customers to get mad at you. But here's the beauty part. You don't have to do it at all. Just a few lines of code in your app, on your website, integrates Braintree payments in. And it's the best. It's the one everybody uses. Braintree payments are used by Uber. You ever use Uber? You ever get in the car, go for a ride, get out of the car, say thank you very much? You just used Braintree. Yep. That's how the payments work. And what's interesting is competitors use Braintree. So not just Uber, but Lyft uses Braintree. Not just Airbnb, but Hotels Tonight uses Braintree. GitHub uses Braintree.
They're smart. They don't want to do it themselves.
They are smart. They're great programmers. Yeah. We're not saying you're not. But why do it yourself when 10 lines of code and boom, it's in there. Android, iOS, JavaScript. The SDK supports 7 languages. .NET, Node.js, Java, Perl, PHP, Python, Ruby. So, and it's elegant code. You can actually look at it and see it, and the documentation is clear. From pounds to PayPal, from Bitcoin to Apple Pay to Android Pay. And you know what? When something new comes along, the next big thing, it'll be easy to integrate. Braintree does all the work.
Yep.
You just check a box in your control panel. That's it. No late nights, no complicated recoding, no stress about staying ahead of the curve. They have great fraud protection. They have fast payments. They're the way to do it. Braintree is an easy way to get multiple payment types into your app or website with one easy integration. BraintreePayments.com/NSS. That's where you should go. BraintreePayments.com/NSS. We thank Braintree so much for their support of the new screensavers. Shall we check in and see how Svet's doing?
Yes, please.
Now, you're an artist. Oh, my, you did another one. Wait a minute. Where'd this come from?
We blinked.
What the
what? We blinked
what?
Is what happened.
That is great.
Oh, Coyote.
You know, there's something also about, the color reproduction on a screen is different from color reproduction on paper, right? Paper is reflective.
Yes.
The light reflects off the paper.
Cyan,
and that's
magenta,
what you see.
And yellow.
And on a screen, it's pumping the light into your eyes, right? So there's just something lively and beautiful about the screen.
It's like it's being lit from behind.
Mm-hmm. And the colors are vivid. And you have an infinite color palette, practically. I mean, with P3, you're going to have any color that the eye can see, almost.
And like you said, if you make a mistake, you don't have to erase it. Cut, place.
I love it. Svet, you're great. Thank you so much. We'll ask her for a final opinion. Yeah, we'll ask her for a final opinion in just a little bit. All right, we're going to do the mailbag right now, and I guess we're here, and let's just do it here, all right?
Perfect.
You don't mind? A little less walking?
Mail, we'll carry.
Let me get my activity. This is indoor walk, stair stepper. Oh, here it is, mailbag.
Mailbag, there
okay,
it goes.
There
okay,
there we go.
Leo completed a mailbag. There we go.
Roll the mailbag in! Yeah. Woo. If you see that on my circles, you'll know. Oh, by the way, these are left over from our birthday party. Nice. In case you want to just put this on. They're very festive.
There we go. I feel like it's going to launch off. Whoa! Here. Happy birthday!
Pick a question.
I'll take this one, sir.
You get the first one. You're number one. Go ahead.
All right. Oh, I need to run about 3 Windows apps on a Mac. I see WinOnX, Bootcamp, Crossover Mac, VirtualBox, Parallels Desktop, and VMware Fusion.
Oh, man.
I'm lost now. He's lost. I'm lost. Help me pick one, please.
So there's 2 different things in here. There's Bootcamp, which is Apple's program that lets you run Windows as if you're on a Windows machine. It actually takes over the machine.
Like reboot comes back up Windows.
Right. Literally, it's a dual boot system. You boot into Windows. The rest are virtualization.
Yes.
So what's the difference and what do you like?
So virtualization, if you want to be pure Windows, like especially gamers like this because they get to use Windows like it's a Windows machine, then Bootcamp is the way to go. What's nice about the virtualization technologies is that you can run side by side. So you can have your Mac app running and your Windows app running. And that's really convenient because you can check your mail, you can check the web, and then run your Windows app.
Some of these virtualization managers, VMware, Fusion, and Parallels to be specific, actually let you not run Windows inside your Mac, but just run one Windows app inside
your Mac. Coherence Mode and other things.
Yeah, it's awesome. So it's as if it's a Mac application.
Yeah, it's just in a little tiny Windows box.
There is overhead. It's going to take some CPU. It's going to take away some of your RAM.
Yeah, and you get to allocate that, decide how much you want to give to the virtual machine.
Yeah.
The nice thing about VirtualBox, it's formerly Sun Microsystems.
That's free.
It's free. So if you're not sure, you can download that and just try it and see if that performs well enough for you.
Yeah. So at least with a few of these, I know VMware Fusion and Parallels, you can do both. You can install Windows as a Bootcamp partition. So those times that you really need all the performance possible, you can boot into Windows, and there's no Mac.
Like a Word doc with pictures. You can boot right into Windows.
It's amazing. The drawback to that is it does take up some disk space, but it doesn't take up a lot of disk space because VMware Fusion and Parallels will see that installation and say, oh, do you want me to use that in virtualization? So you don't have to have 2 versions of Windows installed.
Absolutely.
The other disadvantage is you have to have a copy of Windows. None of these give you a free copy of Windows.
Yeah, you have to buy that.
Yeah.
Or you have to acquire that,
Acquire it in some magical way. Well,
Microsoft expensive. Was giving it away for a while.
Well, for a while they were giving away free upgrades, but that's over.
Yeah.
People
have old Windows machines or old Windows. You don't have to run the latest. Maybe you don't have to run the latest version. Maybe your old copy of 7 is fine.
I bought Windows 10 for virtualization. It was $120. Mm-hmm. It's not cheap. That's what Microsoft charges for it. But then you have a true version of Windows you can install and reinstall. Once you use one of these programs, you can do something great, which is called snapshot your installation. So if you get malware, trash it.
Well, sometimes with their kids, they just run an instance, they trash it every night, and they get a fresh one.
Start over. So I haven't used WinOnX. I have used Bootcamp. I haven't used Crossover Mac. Crossover Mac is more like wine. Crossover Mac isn't actually. It's wine stands for wine is not an emulator. It kind of is. What they do is same thing with Crossover Mac. They duplicate the Windows calls, so you can run some, but not all Windows apps.
Yeah.
If it works with Crossover Mac, that's probably the cheapest.
Kind of like
and
they
easiest.
Wrap the DLLs around the little app.
Yeah.
I hope that it works.
Yeah. It's I don't know. I think it's a great idea. It's kind of for the hardcore.
Yeah, he doesn't say which. Lance doesn't say which 3 apps. If there really are light apps and they work, I would try the freer, easier solutions first, and then escalate as you need them.
The one advantage of Crossover Mac, you don't have to buy Windows.
Yes,
because it isn't Windows. It's just tricking the application into thinking.
Don't look over here. We're running Windows apps.
Yeah. I have used VirtualBox, Parallels, and VMware Fusion. Do you have a favorite?
It goes back and forth, and that's but they're always trying to outdo each other.
It is.
Especially Parallels and VMware. Yeah. So every few weeks we'll get a press release saying, now we've got this feature.
Is VirtualBox worse, the free version, free solution worse than the paid solution?
It's not as elegant, but it is free. I mean, and for a lot of people, free is a killer feature.
It works pretty well.
Yeah.
I would start with this, and then if you, you know, want to get a little more performance, or perhaps you want to use Bootcamp and virtualization, then I would consider Parallels or VMware Fusion. I personally use VMware Fusion at this point. But as you say, next generation Parallels might be better. So just keep an eye out. But if I'm going to pick one, I'm going to say VMware.
But they're almost always catch up with each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that coherence mode is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah. All right, it's my turn.
Yes, sir.
This is from Jeray. He says, I'm a wedding photographer, do about 15 weddings a year. That's a lot. I use Lightroom, Photoshop, and Bridge, all Adobe products. The images in RAW are huge because I have a Nikon D600. I need a new desktop Mac, and I'm not sure if I should just get the basic setup or the Fusion or the flash drive. I live in the mountains. Internet's slow. What do you recommend? Thanks for your help. Well, first of all, there is no new Mac except the MacBooks.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Will there be a new Mac this spring?
Yeah, I mean, yes. So it depends what you consider a new Mac now, because we're getting into an era where Moore's Law has effectively been beaten into the ground and buried. So the computers aren't getting that much faster. So we have Skylake now, and there's Kaby Lake, and it's not that much faster. They're more energy efficient, and that doesn't help desktops as much.
I have to say, if I'm a photographer, I'm going to look at the 5K iMac.
Yeah.
That screen is stunning.
And it's P3 now, like the Surface Studio.
So it's accurate
wide color. Yeah.
Wide
beautiful
color.
Reds, beautiful greens, beautiful oranges.
Now, as far as hard drive choice, I would not recommend the Fusion Drive unless you say, I just need maximum capacity. The only advantage of the Fusion Drive is you get 3 terabytes. And that's because it is a fusion, or up to 3 terabytes.
Yeah.
It's a fusion of a spinning drive and an SSD. But in my experience, it is not as fast, and it's not as compatible, and that's something to think about, too, as a pure SSD.
And I'll throw something else at you. It's also, if there's a problem with it, it's inside the computer.
Right.
So I always recommend get the flash drive and then hang a hard drive off the computer.
Exactly. Go out and get a Drobo or some massive storage drive, and you know, because you've got a lot of weddings. You want to save those, I understand. But even if you have a 1 terabyte SSD in there, that's going to be enough for the current shoot.
Yeah.
Which you need, and the speed difference is remarkable.
You want it for boot up. You want it for the programs that you use the most. You want it for the files that you're accessing, because the SSDs are ludicrously fast. They're like Warp 11 now, and they just show up.
I don't think he should wait for that. There will probably be a new iMac this spring, right? Should he wait?
No, I mean, if USB-C and Thunderbolt 3 are critically important to your workflow, and almost nobody can say that right now, then you should wait because you'll get the new ports. But the screen is going to be just as good. The color depth will be just as good.
I did buy a Thunderbolt 3 external drive just for the speed. And it is faster. I mean, it's a lot faster, 50% faster. Especially if you use a RAID array or some sort of thing so you get faster multiple drives. But Thunderbolt 2 is probably fast enough. So, yeah, you need it now. Get the current 5K iMac.
It was updated last October. That's what I use. I use that for Mac Break Weekly every week.
Yeah, I
it's
think
phenomenal.
It's great. And I wouldn't get a Mac Pro because it's 3 years old.
No, I mean, Mac, but it's not built for photography. It's built for people who need massive parallel computing because it's got two graphics cards.
It's a render engine.
Yeah, it's an OpenCL box.
Yeah. And it works pretty well with 4K video, even though it is 3 years old. I had a Mac Pro. I didn't use it all that much.
It was a great home theater.
Yeah, but I use my 5K iMac every day. Yeah. I really like that.
I agree.
Well, hey, thank you, Jeray. There's the Mac Pro. You know what's funny? They haven't even updated the website.
No.
It still mentions Aperture.
Yes.
It says the Mac Pro is really good at Aperture, a program Apple hasn't made in 2 years.
Yes.
So it's pretty. It's pretty. But I can't really recommend it.
Great, great cylinder.
One of the best cylinders ever.
One of the most beautiful cylinders ever made.
Never been a better cylinder.
There's been a nice G4 Cube, and now there's a nice Mac Pro cylinder.
Yeah. You know, I feel bad about that.
Yeah.
It cost me the same as that Surface Studio.
Yeah.
Let's check one more time. Check in with Svetlana Shmakova, Svetlania.com. Oh, she started a new one.
Oh, every
She's
time I
pretty
blink.
Much finished her book.
Yep.
She's got a new book is out now. Holy cow. Thank you, Svet. You're wonderful. Go to Svetlania.com for more of Svet's work. And you must, if you have a young adult, you must get awkward.
I'm getting them for me.
And brave. The Art Adventures of Mr. Raccoon. It's just, and she makes appearances at schools. There's the Night School series.
Gorgeous.
It's a great way to get a kid reading because it's a graphic novel. So a kid will think she's reading a comic book when in fact she's reading great literature.
She is learning. Smart. We've tricked them into learning.
Ha ha! Hey, and by the way,
yes, sir.
If you want to see these images for yourself and own them, put them on your wall, Svet says she's going to tweet these. Her Twitter handle is at Svetlania. Ooh, ooh, ooh. So all the images that she made today on our show will be available on our Twitter at Svetlania. Hey, we've had a great time. You are the best. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it too. Renee Ritchie is, of course, at iMore. Your editorial director at iMore.com and Mobile Nations.
Yes. And Android Central, Windows Central.
You do a great job. Thank you. Of course, every Tuesday around 11 a.m. Pacific, Renee deigns to bless us with his presence.
You're so kind to have
Mac me. Break Weekly, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC. Are you going home? When are you going home?
Oh, no, tomorrow, sir.
Okay.
Yep.
Snowing back there, probably.
It's going to be very different than here.
Yeah, well, it's not that. We think it's freezing.
Every time I come here, I bring you the rain. It's my gift to you.
We feel like it's so cold here right now.
My presence just chills.
We're dying.
Yeah.
We got two people from Brooklyn. They're going, cold. This isn't cold. This is summer in Brooklyn.
I'm upset I have to wear these clothes.
Nothing's summer in Brooklyn. By the way, Jonathan, I didn't see this, but you're a professor of biology at Wagner College. That's nice. It's nice to have you and your lovely wife. Chuck's here. He's a corporate pilot. He brought his compadre, you two people fly the plane at all times, because if one flew it.
Well, I'm assuming if their guest's name rhymes with like Ill Bates, then he's loose to a certain level of service.
He flies famous.
A certain
people.
Level of service.
And I love that because we get
dual
a few
corp
people,
pilots.
We get a few corporate pilots in here. We've had security professionals in here, and they'll never tell us who they're here with. But it's always some like.
But it's someone in the audience, right?
Some big shot.
It's always someone in the audience.
Yeah. Thanks to all of you for being here. We do the new Screensavers every Saturday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2300 UTC. If you want to tune in live, join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. We would love that. Studio, just email tickets at twit.tv. We'll embarrass you in front of your friends. But if you can't do that, well, by all means, download a copy. We've got audio and video at twit.tv/NSS, and you can subscribe, find a podcatcher, any program that gets podcasts will have us. I can even listen on my Tesla. Just make sure you listen each and every week to the new Screensavers. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.